Stone Cold, the Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker on the Hell's Gate submission. Oh my God!
What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars has come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one on one.
So we are back here on Rivalries, on the WWE podcast, on the eve of the first ever What If segment on here on the WWE podcast, which will be coming at you tomorrow morning with myself and Matt. And I'm really excited for this, guys. And like, I don't know how you guys have not got over to Patreon yet. For just $1 a month, you get all of our shows ad-free, and now with exclusive content like Wrestling Nostalgia, my personal favorite here on the WWE podcast. Now we're gonna have the What If segment coming at you every single Saturday morning. Mimi Burris has had a couple of shows of her own that will be exclusive to the Patreon page for us. So look, I don't know what you guys are doing. Get over there. But that's not why you guys are here. We're not here to talk about Patreon. We are here to talk about rivalries. And last week, we talked about a rivalry that spilled all the way into 2020. And in a lot of ways, just culminated back in early February when Edge and Randy Orton had their match on Monday Night Raw following Edge's return and victory at the Royal Rumble. But that got me thinking of more recent rivalries and ones that really meant a lot in the last 5 or 6 years. And that's why we are going to go back to 2016 for John Cena versus AJ Styles. And I got to tell you, now looking back on it, as this was one of John Cena's, if not his last official rivalry as a full-time competitor with the company, it really makes you appreciate and kind of miss what John Cena brought to the table. Because by 2016, he really had slid back into not irrelevancy, but he had taken a back seat to kind of give the reins to the other competitors. You know, by this point in 2016, it had been 3 years since he main evented a WrestleMania, when he did so with The Rock at WrestleMania 29 in New York to win the WWE Championship in their second installment of their out of their two matches. And then WrestleMania 30, you have him defeat Bray Wyatt. WrestleMania 31, he defeats Rusev for the United States Championship. And then at WrestleMania 32, he didn't even have an official match. He returned briefly to help The Rock beat up on the Wyatt family. So John Cena was really no longer part of the main event picture in WWE. And it's weird to think about, because like, when you think of John Cena, yes, he had quote-unquote buried Wyatt and buried Rusev. But when he was utilized in that upper mid-card role, specifically when he won back the United States Championship in at WrestleMania 31 in 2015, it was crazy how much value John Cena brought to it. And, you know, he had the historic open challenge, which I believe they still kind of kick tires on from time to time. They're alluding to it now with Sheamus, although he's a heel, so he's not quite doing it like Cena. He had a couple of amazing matches on Monday Night Raw with Cesaro. And it was just crazy to me how John Cena willingly took a backseat to win, let's say, a mid-card championship. Because let's go back and look at the faces of the company that preceded Cena. Like Triple H, did he ever win the Intercontinental Championship after he kind of dominated Raw during the Ruthless Aggression era? Did Stone Cold Steve Austin win the Intercontinental Championship, you know, in 2001 when he dropped the title to Kurt Angle? Or 2002, rather. Ditto with The Rock. I don't think Hulk Hogan ever won a championship aside from the WWE World title. So it was really unusual for us to see, for, you know, not to use the Shane McMahon cliche, the face that runs the plays willingly step back and kind of give the reins to the newer competitors. Because by 2016, this was right around the time when Roman Reigns was really getting pushed to the moon, or Seth Rollins, although he had been hurt since Survivor Series of 2015, he was kind of being pushed as the new face of the company on the heel side of things. Dean Ambrose as well. He won Money in the Bank in 2016. You had Kevin Owens just being recalled. You had a hot rookie in Baron Corbin, who, that's a whole nother different discussion for another day on what happened with Baron Corbin. But it really was ushering a new era. But in 2016 at the Royal Rumble, we had someone make his debut in the company that was a very big name in the wrestling world to this point, and had been for about a decade, but it never stepped foot inside a WWE ring.
This is key for Roman Reigns. Keep the numbers down. Keep the advantage in your corner.
So AJ Styles makes his debut in WWE after 18 years in the wrestling business. And I gotta say, I never really knew what he was all about until he started in WWE. Like, I knew who he was. When I thought of TNA / Impact Wrestling, I thought AJ Styles. And I always remember him being the X Division champion. If I'm not mistaken, that's kind of like the TNA equivalent to the Intercontinental Championship. And he was kind of like that face of Impact Wrestling, or TNA. I don't even know what it is. I know it started as TNA, now it's Impact, whatever. I never really watched it. But like, I knew who he was, and he was almost kind of like my perception of like who I thought Sting was. Like a homegrown talent for that wrestling promotion that had never stepped foot inside the WWE ring. So when AJ Styles came to WWE, it was a massive deal because he was like the only, and I'm sure I've made a mistake on here, but aside from maybe Samoa Joe, although I don't think Joe really carries the same star power as AJ Styles did, although that probably has a lot to do with the way WWE booked him, but AJ Styles was like the only homegrown talent from Impact Wrestling that carried this level of star power. Because if you look at the other names who became massive hits in Impact Wrestling over the years, and I know I'm gonna mess some of these up and I'm probably gonna forget some guys, but like I said, guys, I really did not watch Impact. But just from like a WWE fan perspective, you know, there was Kurt Angle, there was Sting, Matt Morgan had a solid run there, Jeff Jarrett, and I believe, who else? Didn't Hogan have a run there? Mick Foley, Ric Flair. Like, all of these guys came from WWE or WCW in the case of Sting. But AJ Styles was that one guy who was like the purebred TNA Impact guy, along with Samoa Joe. So those two guys. But again, I believe Samoa Joe was already in NXT by 2016, and AJ Styles just made the jump directly to the main roster, as he should, in my opinion. There would have been no point to stick AJ Styles in NXT. So AJ Styles comes in, and I gotta say, he hit the ground running, and he instantly became one of my favorite guys to watch on Monday Night Raw each and every week. And he actually kicked things off with a program with Y2J. You know, they had Y2AJ, and I believe they had a match at Fastlane or Elimination Chamber. And they eventually had a match at WrestleMania 32, to which AJ Styles got the victory over Jericho. And then right around May of 2016, John Cena made his return to the company. And these two were almost running, I don't know if parallels were is the right word, but you kind of had John Cena, who was like the pure WWE guy from 2005 to this point in 2016. And AJ Styles was the exact same thing and his almost his direct counterpart over on Impact Wrestling. So it almost made too much sense here for them to cross each other's paths at one way or another. And the first time they would cross paths, we would see a mutual respect for one another. Or so we thought.
I have been waiting for this moment for a long time.
Judging by the sound of it, so has everyone else.
Here's the thing. I know we've been in two different worlds, but here we are right now in this very ring. I just wanted to come out here and be one of the first to say, welcome back. We agreed to go our separate ways. And you saw the way that we went earlier with the New Day. And now it looks like the way that you're going is sucking up to John Cena. We're not here to kiss ass. We're here to kick it. And AJ Styles, that's yours included.
Oh my God, Anderson and Gallows have...
See that Styles, guys? Oh, my God!
Cena said a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed. Oh, man, a boot from Gallows. Enough. And now this beatdown continues. What happened? AJ going his way and Anderson and Gallows going their way.
What happened to AJ showing respect to John Cena?
I think AJ saw an opportunity and he took it.
So just when you think it would be this great mutual meeting of two highly respected competitors, AJ turns heel for the first time in the company and really kind of pulls a fast one on John Cena. And leading up to this, you had kind of had AJ Styles seemingly go the separate ways of Gallows and Anderson. And on a side note, how great was Styles with Gallows and Anderson, whether it have been the Bullet Club back in their time in New Japan, or then they were just known as the Club at this point. And then in 2019, I believe it was, they reunited yet again on Monday Night Raw to form the, the OC, the original club. I love that. They had great theme music too. And I really thought that these three had very good chemistry, and it was a shame that they got rid of Gallows and Anderson, WWE that is, because AJ Styles as a heel with these two as his heavies were... It just worked really well because I think AJ Styles was one of those guys who he caught star power right out of the gate. And when you catch this level of star power as a heel, it is so much more effective when you have heavies and henchmen. And to this point, it wasn't just henchmen. Like, these guys had a storied history, albeit in another promotion. But every wrestling fan knew that there was a history of these guys. Like, even me, a guy who strictly watches WWE, I knew that there was a storied history between AJ Styles, Gallows and Anderson, also Finn Balor. So it made so much sense. And then when he turned heel on John Cena, it was another turn of events that kind of made sense to push AJ Styles forward. And this is when I really started getting behind AJ Styles. And I think he's one of those rare types of characters and performers that he is just as good as babyface as he is as a heel. But that being said, the way he goes about himself as a heel and the way he cuts promos, it's almost more enjoyable to watch. And his thought process behind going after John Cena was one that was explained so well and in detail. And in some ways, you would think there was a bit of truth behind it.
Because I had a plan. And that plan was to get in the ring with you, shake your hand, look you right in the eyes, and punch you right in the face. And it worked to perfection. You insult me, John Cena. Not with what you're doing now. No, no, no. That's what you do. You're great on the mic. That's what you do. You're great on your little morning shows and your late night shows, your movies. Not necessarily the ones you star, but your cameos are very entertaining. But you insult me every time that bell rings. And I know, John, it burns you up inside that even on your best day, you can't beat me.
So AJ Styles playing the classic heel role, and he was not the same character. Like, it's crazy how much characters evolve, but it was a point where AJ Styles, I think, not that he grew stale already, like, my God, he had just been in WWE for, what, 4 months at this point? But he had already had a kick at the WWE Championship against Roman Reigns, as I believe it was Extreme Rules they had a match. And I think that this was the perfect avenue to go down with AJ Styles. But when you watch this clip back, it's when you remember just how fantastic John Cena was on the mic. And that's where we would see John Cena on full display as he responded to AJ Styles.
Finally was a surprise entry in the Royal Rumble and did nothing. And then was gifted an opportunity at the WWE Championship and failed. And then failed again. And instead of being a real man, shaking it off, dusting it off, and getting right back in the action, you started to second guess yourself. Because every one of the little cronies you've been surrounding yourself for the last 20 years have been saying you're God's gift to sports entertainment. But you get here and you're a bust. So you look to the one guy you think you can take me out is going to save your ass. You can walk around these halls with your head held high and say, I belong here. Dude, that's not phenomenal. That's freaking desperate. I want to make something clear with you right now. You couldn't get past Roman Reigns and now you picking a fight with John Cena? You do not know who you're dealing with.
My God, John Cena. I know everyone craps on John Cena, but I don't think, and I've said this numerous times, so I may sound like a broken record, and I'm not an uber John Cena fan, but I think John Cena is a classic case of not knowing what you have until it's gone. And now that John Cena is gone, I think a lot of people who booed his ass out of the building each and every night or wanted him off the TV screen would kill to have him do one last full-time run with the company. Because even if you don't like his character, it is hard to find a better promo than John Cena. It is hard to find a better wrestler who knows his character like John Cena. And as much as his character was, I don't know if hokey is the right word, but I guess cheesy is the perfect way to describe him, like the modern day version of Hulk Hogan, he was kind of unique. He was, and I think that he was so unique that nowadays you see WWE doing everything in their power to try and model their baby faces after the way John Cena was. But the way John Cena did it is, even though he pandered and even though he was the ultimate good guy and no one could break him and he stood up for everything that was right in the world and hustle, loyalty, and respect, you believed him. Like, you genuinely believed him. At least I did. As opposed to, let's say, I'll use Drew McIntyre, who's the biggest babyface in the company right now, as I feel like they're damaging him because of how they're kind of pushing him as always smiling and always fighting the good fight. And it doesn't suit him. But for John Cena, for whatever it is, it just fit him. And in some ways, I'm almost happy that they never turned him heel in some ways, because that's what made John Cena John Cena, as he was like that one unbreakable guy. And I'm going off on John Cena rant, so we'll get back on track here. As this program between these two really highlighted the summer of 2016, and this bled right into the 2016 draft. And you got to remember that at this point in 2016, the brand split had been not in effect for, I want to say, officially, I would say for 3 years or so. But for all intents and purposes, it had been over 5 years since we had seen a true brand split where the rules were actually adhered to. And when the draft came and went, it would have it that both of these guys got drafted to SmackDown. And that was a big deal for SmackDown, because sending John Cena, arguably the biggest star of the last generation, over to the brand, and the new up-and-comer, and it's weird to say because AJ Styles had already wrestled for close to 20 years at this point, but up-and-comer in on a WWE landscape over to SmackDown, you saw that they were really trying to balance out the brands. And to be honest, at the initial point of this brand split in 2016, when you had Shane running SmackDown and Stephanie running Raw, I thought SmackDown was better. And you also had Dean Ambrose take the WWE Championship over to SmackDown, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, Cena, AJ Styles. I really liked what they did on SmackDown. And that's why when we got to SummerSlam of 2016, the best match on the card, bar none for me, was Cena versus AJ Styles. And it was, in my mind, the highlight of SmackDown. I know the true main event was Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler for the WWE Championship, which was a very underrated match. And then you had the interpromotional match between Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, where Brock Lesnar seemingly went off the grid, or off the rails, rather, and beat the hell out of Randy Orton. And maybe I'll cover that sometime. But for me, what stole the show was John Cena versus AJ Styles. And they had already had a six-man match at the pay-per-view that preceded this, where Cena tagged with Enzo and Cass to defeat AJ Styles, Gallows, and Anderson. But this felt like the first true monumental clash between the two. And I think that I love these matches so much because, A, obviously, AJ Styles can have a five-star match with a broomstick. But number two, AJ Styles brought the absolute best out of John Cena. And I would really suggest you guys go watch this match back, because it was just so, for, you know, no pun intended, but it was phenomenal. And on a card that was fairly stacked, you know, you had Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins for the inaugural Universal Championship. Like I said, Ziggler versus Ambrose, Brock versus Goldberg, Brock versus Randy. Just an absolute stacked card, and this match completely stole the show. And how this match unfolded was the official coronation, in my mind, of AJ Styles becoming the face that runs the place.
Left seen on opening. That's huge right there.
Styles is going somewhere. Look at this.
Yeah, he's wanting to use that real estate to his advantage.
He knows he wasn't going to hit the cover. Here comes that phenomenal fall, and he nailed it. He just beat John Cena at SummerSlam. The summit, AJ Styles. What a hell of a victory!
Who would have thought that in the year 2016 AJ Styles would hold two singles victories over John Cena in WWE?
And there's no asterisks on this one.
No, there's
this
not.
Was a one-on-one classic. This was a battle of two incredible champions. Neither one to give an inch.
So AJ Styles gets the big victory on John Cena, and this sent Cena away for on and off about 4 months, because AJ Styles won the WWE Championship away from Dean Ambrose at, I believe it was actually Backlash, at the pay-per-view that followed this in September. And then in No Mercy in October, John Cena came back, and there's a triple threat match between the three of them with Ambrose and AJ Styles, to which AJ Styles retained the championship yet again. And John Cena quickly went back away following that match. So this was right around the time when John Cena was really stepping away from WWE, but he was coming back for like random full-time runs here and there and a bit of everywhere. Oh my god, I just rhymed a bit. Look at that, guys. But it really, as JBL said, although AJ Styles already had one singles victory over John Cena before this, this one at SummerSlam just felt like the stamp of approval. Like, AJ Styles is one of the main top guys here in WWE. And just, what, seven months into his career with the company? So this really kicked off the main event push of AJ Styles, and he held that championship all the way into 2017. And when he was well into his WWE championship run, and by the end of December, he was, 4 months into it or 3 months into it, John Cena finally made his return to the company following Christmas. And when he returned, he had an announcement that many people, including AJ Styles, weren't exactly thrilled about.
Me, Baron Corbin! Now I know you guys straight up don't like him, but that's okay, because he probably doesn't like you either. But just remember, that doesn't mean he can't walk out of here a champion tonight. Or will it be the phenomenal one, AJ Styles? Well, it sounds and looks like we got a few AJ Styles fans in the house tonight. You can actually add me to that list. Because the champ that runs the camp has made a year out of telling people they don't want none. They don't want none. But tonight, can he do it one more time? We will see. So with a star-studded championship main event, that brings me to the question. What the hell am I doing here? Hearing that makes me think a lot of people have been speculating and planning my future. And 2016 wasn't exactly a super year for Super Cena, if you know what I'm saying. Because I heard things like that, but I also heard that I'm damaged goods, I'm washed up, Hell, I've been called a part-timer. There's a lot of superstars that already say I got 1 foot out the door and I'm gone to Hollywood, never to come back. What am I doing here tonight? I'm setting the record straight. I'm not done. I'm not leaving. And I'm sick of this new era BS. It ain't the new era. It's the my time is now era. So what am I doing tonight? I'm watching the main event very close. Because whoever wins, I challenge them to a championship match at the Royal Rumble.
So there you have it. John Cena comes back at the final SmackDown of 2016 and challenges the winner of the WWE Championship match that night to a championship match at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And John Cena coming back out of nowhere and automatically just inserting himself into the main event for the World Championship at one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year kind of played on the whole narrative that AJ Styles had been trying to build against him for the preceding 6 to 8 months of that John Cena just comes in, does whatever he wants. And, you know, he played off of the whole, like, face that runs the place thing that John Cena was called by Shane McMahon. And then AJ Styles started calling himself the champ that runs the camp and the face that runs the place. So them clashing at Royal Rumble was very poetic in a way. And you have to remember that at this point, John Cena had 15 world championships to his name, one away from tying Ric Flair's record of 16 total. So when the Royal Rumble came around, John Cena had a chance to make history.
They're living up to the hype, John Cena. Oh, Mamma Mia! He asked the kicks out of the A plus AA. Unbelievable! Man! And the look on John Cena's face says it all.
Bewilderment. How did AJ Styles kick out of that?
An avalanche AA. Cena thought he had buried AJ Styles to claim the WWE title, but no.
Look at this, the Super AA. John Cena had no doubt. I mean, absolutely no doubt. He had just won the WWE Championship.
Oh, and Cena again lifts AJ Styles. Styles counters.
But AJ is in no way to capitalize. There have been so many tremendous counters. Look, it's a tremendous counter. AJ Styles hits that on somebody else. AJ Styles hits that a different time. He wins the match right there.
Combat Sports has served up a bevy. None is going to ask this. Cena gets Styles again. AA one more time.
Oh, my.
What? Wow. Wow. The message sent loud and clear.
So three times the charm for John Cena as he captures the WWE Championship. And I think this was the best match of their trilogy. And John Cena getting the victory after, as Mauro Ranallo called it, the Super AA off the second rope. Then he picks up AJ Styles before he could hit the phenomenal forearm. One AA rolls over, picks him up again, second AA. And goodnight the lights for AJ Styles. And Cena ties Ric Flair's record for 16 world titles. And this would be his last world title victory to date. And that is 4+ years now that John Cena has held the world championship in WWE, or any championship for that matter. And he only held it for a couple weeks because he dropped it at the very next pay-per-view inside the Elimination Chamber to Bray Wyatt. And I believe that was only a 2-week-long reign for Cena, as he had a short program with The Miz that culminated at WrestleMania in the mixed tag team match of him and Nikki Bella versus Miz and Maryse. And then following WrestleMania 2017, WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, He had a couple of short runs here and there, had the short program with with Roman Reigns in October of 2017, but this victory over AJ Styles was pretty much the last time John Cena would be a prominent figure in the company, and we are over 4 years removed now from John Cena being the world champion and the face that runs the place. And I just love the way they booked this because it protected AJ Styles, giving him 2 out of the 3 victories, but they also give John Cena that little bump of the final victory, the lasting image of their rivalry, which culminated in that match that had him winning his 16th WWE World Championship. And it really was two faces of their respected companies of their generation colliding for, in all intents and purposes, a dream rivalry for many. And for me, one of the best rivalries in the last number of years in WWE. And one that really put SmackDown on the map in the new era of the brand extension. Because without John Cena and AJ Styles, I know Dean Ambrose was also a face of that initial split of SmackDown and Raw. But without these two and this historic rivalry, and yes, I'm saying historic rivalry, I don't think SmackDown fully gets off the ground. But anyway, guys, that's all I got for you today. As always, check out me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can check Matt on Twitter at wrestling_audio. Or you can email him at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe to Patreon. We will be back at it tomorrow. We're not back at it. We will be at it for the first time tomorrow with our What If segment that will be dropping tomorrow morning. So be sure to get over there and subscribe for just $1 a month. Anyway, guys, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you next time.